Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the press porch at Tanglewood. I'm Joe Donahue. This press porch is located in a grove of trees, steps away from a gorgeous flower garden, and one of the most beautiful views in all of the Berkshires.
All right, Joe. I'm Alan Chartok. We are overlooking the Stockbridge Bowl. I got to tell you about the press porch, Joe. It reminds me very much of Camp Bronx House. That's why I love it. Smells the same way. Looks the same way. It's heaven on earth, and we invite you to join us on our three-hour exploration of this jewel of the Berkshire Hills.
Before we speak with the managing director of the BSO, Mark Volpe, a little business. Support for Tanglewood on WAMC comes from Bard's Fisher Center, presenting Summerscape 2015. The highlights to include Ethel Smith's opera, The Wreckers, July 24th through August 2nd. Tickets now available, fishercenter.bard.edu. Country Curtains of the Red Lion Inn, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, offering home decor and window treatments for over 50 years, countrycurtains.com. And the Red Lion Inn, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, offering accommodations for Berkshire travelers for over 200 years, 10 minutes from Tanglewood, redlioninn.com. And now, here to tell us about the amazing season on tap at Tanglewood, we welcome back our dear friend and host for this morning. You want to be our host, right? Mark Volpe, the managing director of the BSO. Good morning. How are you?
It's great to be here. It was wonderful seeing you at that Lady Gaga show with Tony, and had a lot of fun.
Tony Bennett, not some guy I brought named Tony.
Yeah, well, no, you brought your wife.
Yes, I did.
But ultimately, I heard when you guys were exiting, she was talking to you about a new wardrobe. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure where that's going. But and she was very curious about Alan too. She was asking all you know. Whether you like chocolate or vanilla or whatever.
Oh, really?
You know, whether you
cause Rex, is this Gaga or my wife? I'm sorry.
Well, your wife, actually.
Okay, just checking.
Because Rex Smith of the Media Project once was heard to say that somebody had called him and complaining about me and said, and the final line was, why don't you just turn around and smack him?
You carry insurance, I take it.
Right.
Yeah, good.
You know, it's interesting to me anyway that we talk about the BSO officially will begin. Opening night is Friday night. But you guys have been here, have been a presence, and have obviously have had a lot going on already.
Well, we've had, Diana Krall, we've had Garrison Keillor. Let's see, who else we've had? We've had a bunch of people. A lot of string quartets.
Yep.
Students are playing a lot of string quartets. Sheryl Crow with the Pops, and we had a wonderful Sondheim show. So part of what we're trying to do is keep the 7 or 8 weeks the BSO is in residence, and this year it's only 7 because we have a major tour to Europe following the season. But on both sides of the season, we've obviously trying to be somewhat responsive to the various respective communities in the hospitality industry, and we're adding shows, and we do, I think, 2 or 3 weeks of shows after the BSO leaves, and two or three weeks of shows, and of varying types, and so it's created a whole new audience, and we're excited to do so, and it kind of goes back to Tanglewood of 40, 50 years ago, where Jefferson Airplane and many, many other Grace Slick graced this, pardon the bad pun, this age, and as did several others.
So why did you stop that? How did you get out of that mode?
I think that whole industry shifted, like many other facets of the American economy. It was a consolidation. There was a thing called Clear Channel, which became Live Nation and
sure.
House of Blues. So in the old days, a lot of the promotion of popular entertainment was kind of local. There'd be a local promoter, and he or she would have a presence in their respective markets. And then, like a lot of other industries, obvious, like the banking and many others, there was a significant consolidation, and we basically have maintained independence. We don't have an affiliation. We
do it yourself.
We do it ourselves.
I have to say, as a Great Barrington resident, and I know this is going to sound fawning, and the last thing I ever want to do with you is sound that way, but we would not have the Berkshires as we know it without you guys. And, I worry. I truly worry about making sure that everybody knows how important this is to us.
Well, we commissioned a economic impact study from a Williams professor several years ago, and even without the impact of the second homes, we generate $75-80 million in activity just in our 10 weeks, and by Berkshire standards, given I think at one point GE had 11,000 employees,
yeah,
in Berkshire County, and I think the number now is zero. And then you look at what has transpired at KB Toys, and Cranes used to, frankly, produce virtually all the U.S. currency, and they certainly, you know, remain in the current and stationary business, but that's not what it once was. And so, to the credit of a variety of people and leaders, the Berkshires has had to redefine itself, especially in the summer, as a cultural resort. And I think this is the premier. And
it
and
is
certainly, you know, we're the anchor in terms of budget and magnitude of operation and all of that. And we bring what 350,000 plus people to the Berkshires, of which only 8% actually reside in the Berkshires. So 92% of our audience is coming from beyond. But ultimately, the Pillow and all the incredible, you know, theaters we're so fortunate to have, and Summerstock, you know, Summerstock basically started in Williamstown, and, you know, with Shakespeare and everybody else involved in Berkshire Theater, of course. And then you have, I think, you were just talking off camera, so to speak, the incredible job Michael's done, you know, up at the Clark. You know, I used to say that's the best small museum in the country. It's no longer a small museum.
I mean, Michael Conforti,
who's retiring, Clark. But ultimately, thank you for filling me in. But ultimately, you know, you have this critical mass, and it's certainly, I mean, we have 5,000 households in Florida that participate in Tanglewood.
That's amazing. You know, when I think of that, about this, Mark, there was, I'm so old that I remember when they wanted to build a prison right up the road from you. And, you know, who knows what other things might have been here had Tanglewood not been our argument. You can't do that because this is the cultural center, maybe of the Northeast, certainly of Massachusetts, New York area.
Well, and not to be insensitive, but the people in upstate New York know what it's like to have a prison proximate
we
to their
do. Right. We do, yeah.
Not, and thank God that's resolved now, but that's, you know.
We have a major station, of course, you know this, in Plattsburgh, so we're right in the middle of it.
Well, and one of the things Tanglewood also does, which might not be fully recognized, and understandably so, but we invest roughly $1.5 million promoting the Berkshires and Tanglewood throughout, you know, basically the East Coast. You know, we're spending roughly $3 million with vendors in Tanglewood. You know, we invest $100,000 just in media here, and AMC's been a fantastic partner, and I think it's a symbiotic dynamic that we certainly need you, and we want to support you, and you've been incredibly proactive and I think beyond Tanglewood, you know, keeping this place vibrant, and given that the industrial base is sort of evaporated. So,
and you, sir, have been good to us because there was a time when we couldn't play when we weren't permitted to play on all of our newer stations, Tanglewood, the Tanglewood broadcasts. And I know that you were very strong about making sure it got out there, which makes me want to ask you a question. Do you think when people hear classical music on the radio, and we play every concert, that they're more likely to have their kids hear it and to express, you know, extend the franchise?
Well, very much so. I think what you're seeing throughout the world, I mean, I was just in China back a year ago, May, with the orchestra, and there are 60 million kids playing violin or piano in Shanghai, Beijing. It's not so much in the provincials, which are more a subsistence type economy, but in the major urban environments, and you see that happening, evolving into South America, and I think here. So I think the more people experience it, I think everyone wants the best for their kids, and there's really good evidence that playing an instrument and what comes out of that and the group dynamic, it's the same thing sort of applies to sports in a different way. But you're part of something greater than a single individual. There's, if you look at acoustics, is science. Rhythm is math. I mean, there's all sorts of things. It's an abstract language, and so I think there's a real case to be made for classical music. And many of the great pop artists have their basis in classical music, and still appreciate it. It's amazing every time these folks, you know, appear backstage, you know, we're just kibitzing and hanging around, and you know, they'll start talking about Bach, or they'll start talking about Brahms, or they'll start talking about, you know, Bernstein's Spirit. That's 38 years. I told them, you know, my office was Bernstein and Copeland's studio for many years. It's much, much less interesting there now than it once was, but that's a different.
Do you ever pick up the clarinet and play a little bit in salute to them?
I pick up the clarinet occasionally to try to get my daughter, when she was still playing flute, to practice. That was the,
yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to return and continue our conversation with Mark Volpe, the managing editor of the BSO. We are live from Tanglewood in Lenox, Massachusetts. We will be back after this short break. Welcome back to our live broadcast from Tanglewood in Lenox, Massachusetts. The BSO starts their summer season officially on Friday night. Mark Volpe is our guest. He's managing director of the BSO, and it's a pleasure to have him here. And since we went to break, it's now raining on the metal roof, and it sounds great on the radio, I must say.
The good news is I heard your meteorologist this morning saying this is the last rain of the season.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And I believe that's guaranteed.
That's guaranteed.
Yeah, that's very, very important.
You've secured a bond, it's guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Good enough.
So how are things shaping up? You're looking at, as you said, a somewhat abbreviated season, but it looks like all the ingredients are there for some pretty great stuff.
Well, we have the old Tanglewood standbys, our house cellist and pianist, Yo-Yo.
Him.
Him. And Manny X, our Kusevitsky artist, so I think there are gracing our stages 3-4 times through the course of the year. And then this is actually Andres's first full season as our music director. And so he's here, some major pieces, one with Yo-Yo, Don Quixote, and a major Mahler symphony, and a major Shostakovich symphony, which we just recorded and will be released here at Tanglewood with Deutsche Grammophon. And ultimately, we have him doing Mahler 8, which is a piece that doesn't get played too much because ultimately it's called Symphony of 1,000 for a reason. We won't quite have 1,000 people on stage, but we'll have several hundred. So you can imagine the expense of that, and he's doing it with the students to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Tanglewood Music Center. And so you were talking about earlier, and I want to just digress for a second, forgive me. One of the interesting things that just transpired in the last 6 months and got announced in, I think, 1,000 newspapers, I was quoted in Arabic for the first time in my career, is this deal we did with Google. Uh-huh. And Google Play thinks that classical music is a growth industry, and especially in the Android platform, which is, frankly, more prevalent in third world and underserved parts of the globe, such as South America and various pockets of Asia. And they came to us and they said, we want to put together the five great orchestras of the world, and starting with you, and of course the New York Philharmonic and Cleveland and then London and Amsterdam, and put together a platform that we're going to take all over the world. And this is Google. They know where you live. They know what you watch. They know what you eat. They probably know things.
The last four digits of your credit card number.
Yeah, it was very, very strange. We were in this press conference in New York, and they're California concerned, but they have this major building in New York, and I'm sitting there, and I see myself on the screen. You can see where the liver spots are growing, and it's about 50 times. It was a little disarming, but ultimately, it's interesting what you were saying before, because Google, which is a pretty powerful, they and Apple sort of are one and two in the world in terms of capitalization and reach and impact, and they are making a significant bet that classical music across the world, across all geographic boundaries, is going to be one of the,
fantastic.
In a niche world. I mean, it's I'm not suggesting, there are very few things that bring the entire country together, and especially when it comes to musical tastes and so. But they're there with us. They're our partners, along with Deutsche Grammophon, and we continue to self-produce. So I think, in terms of electronic dissemination of musical content, we're talking about the radio, we think we were significantly on an upswing.
Is there good cash in that?
We don't know. It's kind of interesting. When the board asked me, our trustees, what are you going to do in a Tanglewood season? I asked, the obvious is, how much rain are we going to have? But we project within 2-4%. This thing with Google is brand new. It's a great split. I mean, it's very little upfront, and so we get more than the majority of the revenue that gets generated. It's when you haven't done anything, you don't really know. So I'm hopeful, but I don't want to, I don't want to be Pollyannish either.
But when they say it's a growth market, do you see it in your position as a growth market?
I think in America, it's probably a little more mature. In China, it's exploding. In Japan. Venezuela, it's exploding. In Brazil, it's doing great. And parts of Europe, at one point, we were more Eurocentric art form. I think that's less the case now. But ultimately, in Europe, it's always been, you know, you go anywhere in Vienna, Berlin, London, music is still very, very much Western art music in particular. But I think in Asia, I mean, of all places, China. I mean, they have indigenous music that's quite sophisticated and quite involved. But ultimately, Western art music appeals to the leadership. And that, you know, you go there. I met the head of the Communist Party in Shanghai, the Communist Party in Beijing, and a guy that in Shanghai, I think two of the last five premiers came out of China came out of that position, and he was very forceful that Western art music is going to be part of the Chinese experience.
No wonder you're wearing a red shirt.
Yeah, I am. it's sort of maroon.
We've got about a minute. Do you want the last question there, Alan?
Yeah. What else? If you had advised people to go to something this summer that you're doing, what would it be?
I would certainly check out Andres Nelson's because it's an incredible marriage of I mean, the orchestra players. I've been around them and they've been great, great colleagues for 18 years, and they are incredibly excited by what he's doing. And so he's doing four or five, including Tango and Parade. So I would you know, whatever you would do. Certainly Yo-Yo, and then there's some interesting, we have Act of Tosca, we have Wynton Marsalis, who is a graduate of the Tanglewood Music Center, coming back with the Lincoln Center Jazz.
Isn't that interesting that he's a graduate of the Tanglewood?
He was one of the great classical trumpet players, and he just chose to go different, like we were talking about before. I mean, he's not a pop artist, he's a jazz artist, but his roots were trained in classical music.
Well, for more information on Tanglewood, you can go to tanglewood.org, tanglewood.org. Mark Volpe, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for inviting us and for all the wonderful work you do, and we really appreciate it. It's always great to see you, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Great. Again, you can find out more by going to tanglewood.org. You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from Tanglewood on WAMC.